All right, we come again to our analysis of this book by Asher Norman entitled 26 Reasons Why Jews Don't Believe in Jesus, a book that he has written to help his fellow Jews against what he refers to as the Christian missionaries. In analyzing the book, we've been looking at some of his presuppositions concerning who Jesus is, some of the presuppositions that he has that deny the deity of Christ, deny that Jesus of Nazareth indeed is the Messiah. And the more I read the book as we are making our way through it, the more I'm impressed with the redundancy and the repetitiveness of his arguments, and more convinced that everything that he is saying is based upon a presupposition that is anti-Jesus of Nazareth. So I think we can start looking at the book in a broader concept here, again focusing upon some of his unfounded, unbiblical presuppositions. Now, much of what he is arguing is that Jesus of Nazareth is not the Jewish Messiah, is not Messiah ben David, as he constantly refers to. He claiming that the Jewish concept of Messiah, for instance, that this Messiah ben David is never viewed as being God. And because Jesus claims to be God, because the New Testament sets him forth to be God, he indeed is not the Jewish Messiah, and indeed obviously denies the real deity of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to make it clear again that we do not identify what he's arguing to be the Jewish concept of Messiah to be equated with what the Old Testament reveals concerning Messiah. I do agree that the concept of Judaism is that the Messiah is not God. But the concept of Judaism is not the theology of the Old Testament. Again, as we've indicated in some of our earlier discussions, many of his arguments and his concept of what the Old Testament teaches is on purpose anti-Jesus of Nazareth. All of this rabbinical evidence is post-Christian in its origin, and consequently, it does not reflect what the principle and the original intent and meaning of the Old Testament scriptures are all about. Now, in dealing with the deity of Christ particularly, he has what I regard some significant statements that are very easily addressed. He argues, for instance, in part of his reasons why Jews ought not to believe in Jesus, denying the deity of Christ, he claims that Jesus was elected God. A strange statement that Jesus, he says, was elected God in Christian theology in A.D. 325. That prior to that, there was disagreement, there was no clear teaching in the scripture concerning the deity of Jesus. He claimed that the deity of Christ then was not always a part of Christian theology, not always a part of Christian dogma. And he's basing this upon some of the early heresies. There was an important church council that took place in A.D. 325, the Council of Nicaea, where we have developed there the most important of the Christological creeds coming from the early church. We need to understand that many of these creedal statements that the church has concerning important doctrines was the result of various heresies that had developed in the early church, and these were official statements to correct what was regarded historically by the church as being heresy. There was a group of early heretics called the Arians that did in fact deny that Jesus was the Son of God, arguing for his perfect humanity, but that he was not deity. So there was a controversy. And so the church, taking the theology of the New Testament, theology of the Old Testament, and proving and stating in unmistakable terms that Jesus of Nazareth indeed was very God of very God. But Norman makes the really absurd conclusion that Christ was not regarded God until that Nicene Council. The Nicene Council was to answer the heretics, heretics that were based on a rationalistic inability to understand how Jesus could be indeed the God-man. this truth is certainly beyond human comprehension. The incarnation, that God was manifest in the flesh, in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, defies human comprehension. But truth is never determined by the ability to understand the truth. I've often said that truth is never unreasonable, but truth is very often beyond reason. And we cannot limit truth just to our ability to understand it. Here is the element of faith. But all the way through the book, Norman is downplaying and belittling the necessity of faith. Everything is reduced to empirical, rationalistic explanation. And I say he views here the heresies of the church as evidence that it wasn't until 325 when the church finally decided that Jesus was God. That was an answer to the heresies. It is interesting that when you look at what the Scripture teaches, what the New Testament teaches, even as it uses the Old Testament Scripture, the evidences of the deity of Christ are absolutely overwhelming. You think of the first chapter of Hebrews, for instance, a book that was written to early Jewish believers. And in the first chapter, there is quotation after quotation after quotation of Old Testament text that are demonstrating and affirming and declaring that this Jesus, God's final word to man, indeed is very God of very God. So in contradiction to what he claims to be no biblical evidence, all the way through the Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament are proving that Jesus, indeed, the Messiah, is the God-man. You can believe it or you cannot believe it. We don't believe it into existence. We can't disbelieve it out of existence. It is that which is based upon the absolute testimony of the Word of God that the Messiah is God, the God-man. He also argues that Judaism denies the concept of the Trinity. Well, he's right. Judaism does deny the concept of the Trinity. But Judaism is wrong in that denial. When we look again at the biblical evidence, there is no term for Trinity that occurs anywhere in the Scripture. That's a theological term that is used to describe the existence of God in three persons. But when we look at the data of the Scripture, again, Old and New Testament, we have evidences of God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all in terms of the attributes and the perfections of deity. I think of Proverbs chapter 8, for instance, an Old Testament text, a wisdom writing that views the wisdom of God as a messianic title, distinct from God, but yet identified with all the characteristics of deity. The angel of the Lord, the messenger who is Jehovah, a Christophany in the Old Testament, distinct from the Lord, but yet identified with Jehovah himself. I say the evidence over and over again in the Old Testament as well as the New is that God is in three persons, and the Messiah is the elect of God as the second person of the Holy Trinity becoming man to be the only Redeemer of God's people. Again, that defies explanation, but faith, again, is never unreasonable. Beyond reason, yes. I can't explain the Trinity, but to deny it is the damnation of the soul. He argues because the Bible claims that Jesus was God and Jesus himself claimed that he was God, that the Old Testament, he makes the absurd conclusion, that the Old Testament identified Jesus as a false prophet. In so doing, he's looking at those passages in the Old Testament that deal with false prophets. And there are many warnings that are given against the false prophets. They don't identify Jesus, obviously. But again, because his presupposition is that Jesus was a false prophet, he finds all of these applications of the false prophet passages in the Old Testament to refer to Jesus. Jesus is the final word. The Bible is clear. If I believe the Bible, if I believe both the Old and the New Testament to be the only inspired word of God, the central message is that Jesus, the curse reverser, the only redeemer of God's elect, the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who is the Son of God. The Bible is clear. We can believe the Bible or we can disbelieve the Bible, but the Bible is true. We believe that Jesus, the only Redeemer of God's elect, the Son of God, eternal Son of God, that became man, and so was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever.